Welcome, beloved, to this program that is designed with you in mind to cause you to be established in the Word of God. I want to thank you to our service today and get ready to be blessed even as we were blessed. Your life will never be the same.
Now, today's episode.
You are feeling in your body as what we call low battery when it comes to mobile system. When it comes to mobile phone, your battery would have been 5%. Some of you, your battery is 5% in the realms of the spirit. Others, your battery is 0.00. So it can't even turn on. Like, you get up and you sleep. Is that not it? But there is a solution in the Bible, and that's what you and I are going to look at. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the verse number 4. And the Bible gives us a solution to general weakness. And the Bible says that he who speaks in tongues edifies himself. He who speaks in tongues edifies himself. He who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies what? Himself. What's the meaning of edify? To edify means to charge up yourself. Yes. So he who speaks in tongues charges himself. He who speaks in tongues builds himself up. How do you build? You put one thing on the other. Is that not it? So you are going to pray and tell God that, Father, as I lift up my voice and I blast in an unknown tongue, may I be charged in the name of Jesus. May I be edified. May I be built up in the name of Jesus. Let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
How many of you feel a burden has been lifted from you? You want to lift up your voice and begin to say, thank you, Jesus. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Can we put our hands together for Jesus and take our seats? Amen. Let's sit down. Last week, actually, we've missed a lot in our month of what? Long life. Okay, so this is our month of long life. And I pray that by the close of this month, your life will be extended in the name of Jesus. Hey, where's your amen? Length of days shall be added to your days. And you shall die and have eternal life in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week, we tried to do a little discourse about what long life is all about. Is that not it? And it was very surprising to most of us when we came across the fact that length of days is not the same as long life. Because when I ask people, what is long life? They said, oh, so that you live long on this earth. Is that not it? But last week, we saw that length of days is different from long life. And we also saw that to define life in its proper terms, you must define it according to its spiritual significance and not the physical. Are you here with me? Life is best defined according to its spiritual significance. What does that mean? It means that if you try to define life based on what we see, the physical, you get it all wrong. And so last week, we learned that in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 2, that was the scripture you gave us. Is that not it? Pastor Inda gave us the scripture last week. What is there? Proverbs chapter 3, the verse number 2. My screen man. The Bible said, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to what? To thee. The Bible is describing 3 things over here. The first one is what? Length of days. The second one is what? Long life. And the third one is what? Peace. And the Bible said these 3 things, God is going to add it to your life. And so we said that, you see, short life is not the same as long life. And long life is also not the same as eternal life. And we saw last week that the ultimate of all these lives is eternal life. But we said that our life here on earth, we can never say that somebody here living on this earth, we can never say somebody living on this earth has long life. Because the truth of the matter is that there is nobody who has lived on earth who has had a long life. And we did a little debate on it. We saw those who were for the motion and those who were against the motion. But in the end, we concluded that when we talk of life on earth, it is actually a short life. No matter how many years you live, whether you live here 155 years or whether you live here 969 years, it is still a short life. And I know those of you who are not here will say, why is it a short life? Compare somebody who died at 300 years or age 300 to somebody who died at age 18. Can't we say that the one who died at age 300 or 150 lived longer than the one who lived 18 years? Yes, we can. But that is the defining life according to the physical, not according to the spiritual. But our focus is on the spiritual, not on the physical. Why did we say no matter how long you live on earth, it's still a short life? We said that because we saw from the scriptures that in God's definition of time, a day like this, or let me say 1,000 days is equal to how many days in the presence of God? A day. Oh, did I say 1,000 days? 1,000 years, sorry. So, 1,000 years is equal to 1 day in the sight of God. What does that mean? It means that all those who have lived on earth, nobody has ever been able to live a day in the presence of God. Yes, that's what it means. Is that not it? So, it means that even Methuselah, who was the longest living man on earth, who lived in 969 years, was not able to live a day in the presence of God. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse number 8. Let's look at it. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse number 8. The Bible said, but beloved, do not be ignorant of this one thing. Listen, he said, if there is something you will never know on this earth, as for this one, you shouldn't be ignorant. You must know it. What is that thing? That a day is with the Lord as what? 1,000 years. So God's definition of one day, Monday, is 1,000 years. Yes. So he said, don't be ignorant of this fact. How many years have we lived after the death of Christ? We are in 2022 years. Is that not it? After the death of Christ, 2022. And in the eyes of God, it's 2 days and some few infinitesimal seconds. So that's how God sees us. So when you see a human being bragging, I'm agreeing. God says, hey, take your time. We will cry only one day. Cry, you understand? So the Bible said, this one thing you must not be ignorant: that one day is with the Lord as what? 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as the Lord one day. So even Methuselah, who lived 969 years, was not able to live a day in the sight of God. So it means that life on this earth, whether you live 1,000 years, you live 500 years, 300 years, it is still a short life. Do you not agree with me? Yes. So our life on earth is a short life. That is why Proverbs chapter 3, the verse number 2 says, for length of days. It didn't say long life. Length of days is just describing the blessings you can get by some few days being added to your age. Proverbs chapter 3 verse number 2. For length of days, a long life. So you see, the length of days is talking about our days on earth. But the long life there is not talking about our days here on this earth. The long life there is describing our life after this life. And so I asked the question last week and I said that, do you believe that every human being has long life? Even including sinners. Some said yes, some said no. After everything, they all agreed that it is yes. Because of my time. That's not what I'm preaching. That's why I'm trying to do some quick recap. Now, we saw that everybody, every living creator of God has long life. Provided he or she is a human being. All humans have long life. What does it mean? It means that even after the physical death on earth, your life does not cease. Death is not the cessation of life. Your life does not end after you die. It's a fallacy. It's one of the biggest lies in the whole world. And I cited an example with a milk in a can. And I asked you, okay, let me take this. What is this? Forget about the name of the brand. Forget about the brand. What is this? It is a bottle of water. Is that not it? Okay. Good. Now, what did I just do? I just opened it. This, do you believe this is water? So, which of them is the water? Is it the liquid inside or the bottle? The liquid is the water, eh? Yeah, I can't drink all this. After the water has been used, what is left? And what do? It's an empty bottle. And it is discarded off. But don't make a mistake. Give me the bottle. Is this your baby a bottle? Don't make a mistake. A lot of you define life according to the bottle. The bottle of water I just demonstrated is like a human life. The real you is the one inside, not the one we see on the physical. When you say, Pastor Amos, I am not the body. I am the spirit living in this body. So without the spirit, the body cannot function. So immediately my spirit comes out of my body, the body becomes a waste and it must be thrown into the soil. And that's what you call burying. Is that not it? But let me ask you a question. Where is the water which was in this bottle? Where is it? But where is it? Where is it now? Is it me? Do you believe that when they cut me open, you see the water? So is the water dead? No. The water has moved into another area, another container. It doesn't mean the water is dead. The water is still alive. I can vomit it right now. Is that not it? So this is what is destroyed, not this one. So when a human being dies, he's being buried. But the spirit lives on. The spirit does not die. You can't kill a spirit. Hey, if God can kill a spirit, he would have killed Satan long ago. Yes. The one gift God gave Satan, I'm sure which he regretted, was making him a spirit. You can't kill a spirit. A spirit cannot die. Nobody can kill your spirit. A spirit can be suppressed. You can bind a spirit, but you can't kill it. That's why I see people say, every witch in my family, in the name of Jesus, yebo tuo power, yebo tuo pay, yebo yesterday mo machine gun, bagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagag You are just joking. You can't kill a spirit. You can't kill a spirit. Spirit can be bound. You can confine them into a particular territory. Tell them, listen, by divine authority, you are not permitted to leave this area and come here anymore. You have confined them into a particular location, and they will stay. But you can't kill it. That is why the demons which inhabited the madman of Gadara, they said to Jesus, have you come to destroy us before our time? What is that distraction they were talking about? Is it death? No. Have you come to take us back to Hades, back into hell, before our time? That is the reason why God made hell. Hell was not made for any human being. Didn't God make hell for you? God didn't have any human being in mind in making hell. He made hell for the devil and his angels. To keep them there forever and ever. That is why he made hell. Hell is not for you and I. God decided, he knew he can't kill them, so he decided he would lock them up forever in a place called hell. And when the devil saw that hell has been destined for him, he said, I won't go alone. I will go with the people he loves, and I will hurt him by hurting the people he loves. Because I know that God loves Mabel so much. I know. So I will hurt God by hurting Mabel. Watch the American movies and you see it clearly. If you want to catch a blow man, catch his wife or catch his son, he will show up. Is that not it? Yes. It has always been like that. The devil knows that. See, I think Psalm 8 verse number 4 says, what is man that thou art mindful of, and the son of man that thou visited? Look, what is the devil saying? These are angels asking the question. They are asking God, what is man? Like, man is what? That you, God, you care so much. You are mindful. Is it mindful? Means your mind is full. So it's two words put together. Mind and then full. So what is man that you are mindful of? And the son of man that you always visit them. Next one. Then they begin to describe man. And they said, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. So even angels are more stronger in might and in strength than human beings. God made man a little lower than angels. Yes. But what we don't understand, that you have crowned him with glory and honor. And glory and honor is one of the gifts God is given. Or it's one of the things that describes God in the book of Revelations. Is that not it? Wealthy is the lamb to receive what? Glory, honor, whatever, riches and all those kind of things. So what the devil doesn't understand is to see God make you just like he is. And he loves you so much. So the devil has decided that, no, if you can't beat them, you do what? You join them. If we can't destroy man, then let man join us into hell. And that has always been the plan. So when we talk of long life, never say that, oh, when I die, that's it. Mi wa na sao, mi wa na sao, mi wa na sao, mi wa go go, ga ga ga, go go go, sa neba, ga ga ga. It is not true. You'll be there.
That's why I told you that all dead people are still alive. And we saw it in Luke chapter 16. Let's read verse number 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into... So there lived a beggar and a rich man. Is that not it? The beggar died, and the Bible said he was carried by what? The angels into Abraham's bosom. So this is something happening after this life. Two human beings were living on earth. They all died. Let's leave what happened. When the beggar died, he was carried. I need a beggar. Come. 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 Who is the rich man? This is the rich man. And this is the beggar. They are living on earth. This man has money. Every day he's having parties. And he wears the best of clothing. But this man doesn't have money. After this man has eaten, the crumbs, those that fell from the table, he will go for it, and the dogs will also fight him for it. He was also diseased in his body. Then one day, they all died. But when this man died, I need four guys. When this man died, carry him to the pulpit. Carry him. He's there though. But where is he now? He has been carried. Is that not it? So be there. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into where? Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died. And what happened? Go under the ground. Why is somebody being buried and somebody being carried? When you die, will you be carried or you be buried? You see, there's no need carrying somebody who is going to hell, because hell is beneath. So push, when the person dies, just push the person down and let him go. But somebody who is going to heaven, heaven is above. So you need to be carried. Is that not it? Next verse. Now this man has been buried. This man, what? I need Father Abraham. Come and be Father Abraham. Father Abraham, come. Let's go on. And in hell, this rich man lifted up his eyes, being in torment. So what we see with this rich man, where is he now? In hell. It means that when you die, you can travel. Is the rich man's house hell? Is the cemetery hell? This man was buried in the cemetery, but right now, where is he now? In hell. Did he fly? I believe I can fly. Who is that? Tiny. Yeah, tiny. He didn't fly. So it means he traveled from where he was placed into hell. So it means that when you die, it doesn't mean that's the end of traveling. Oh, me, I've had a vision where I've had somebody tell me that I've gotten to Achimota. Yes, he died. And the person told me, I said, why are you like, he was in torment. See, Jesus. And I said, what is the problem? Where are you? And he said, oh, Jam Medru Achimota. That's what the person said. Yes. And the person was sitting on his bed. But he said to me, Jam Medru Achimota. So when you die, you travel. And in hell, he lifted up his what? So it means in hell, you still have eyes. You don't lose your sight because you are dead. You can see. But do you know that in this, it is in this life that we need eyes? So it means that there nothing changes at all when you die. You still have your sight. You can see. Is that not it? And he was being in torment. Torment means he was in pain. So it means that you don't lose your body after you die. Is that not it? It is this body. So your body doesn't go away when you die. You still carry another form of body. And that body can still feel pain. Aye! Wait! Mewo! being in torment and seeing Abraham afar off. So in hell, you can see. Who did he see? Abraham. Where? Afar. So in hell, you don't lose your senses of judgment. Whether somebody is close or somebody is far, whether somebody is sitting or standing, you can see. When you see somebody very far, you can say the person is very far. And Lazarus in what? Abraham's bosom. Is that not it? Where's Lazarus? Are you there? Next verse. The man cried. So it means in hell you can still cry. Ah! Ooh! So you don't say, oh, I'm dead, so I can't cry. All the dead people you know are still alive. I'm telling you. How many of you have lost a relative? Like, your relative is dead. My grandmother just died on Wednesday. My grandmother just died. And I know she's alive. Don't say sorry. Because I don't even feel sorry. I thank God she's dead. Why do I thank God she's dead? I thank God she's dead because she accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior. I led her to Jesus. Yes. So I thank God that she has gone to be with the Lord. Yes. So I was there. I held her hand and I saw her when she was dying. And I knew she was dying because her breath was cutting short. And she was struggling. And I prayed. I said, Lord, don't let this woman continue this day, another day with this pain. That was my prayer. Because I saw she was struggling. I said, no, I know she will die. We can't even fight for her life because she's in her 90s. And at least she has lived well. I don't want her to live another day to change her mind that she's no longer a Christian. So let her go. And she went. But Frank was there to support me. We took her to the mortuary. I think Brother Frank and some of these guys. No. Okay, Ike was there. But listen, in hell, this rich man cried. So in hell, you don't lose your ability to cry. You can still cry. And he said, so it means that you can still talk after you die. Don't let anybody deceive you. That be who are not. No, when you die, answer. When you die, you don't lose. You can still see. You can still feel pain. You can still cry. You can still talk. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. But one thing that will come to an end when you die is mercy. Grace. Favor. It's over. Immediately you die, the grace of God ceases for you. That's why John the Baptist was preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven was at hand. Or is at hand. And the people said, oh, the kingdom of heaven, this time, they be a repent. But what they didn't know was that the day they die, the kingdom of God has come to them. And that is the kingdom of judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, what? Judgment. I think Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27. So the man still had the ability to talk. He cried and he said, call him Father Abraham. No. Read what is there. Have mercy on me, and send Lazarus. So wait, in hell, will you still feel thirsty? Yes. The man was thirsty to the point that his throat was very dry. And he was not asking for a glass of water, but what? A tip of a drop of water. And when I put my finger into water like this and I remove it, what will be left? Nothing. But the man said, I still won't put the... No, don't say cool. When I put the water, my hand into this water and I'm walking to the pulpit, by the time I'll get there, will there be water on it? No. But he still want to feel the taste of water at least. That is what a man is looking for. Not a glass of water. So that you can cool my tongue. So you still don't lose your tongue when you die. For I am what? Tormented in this flame. Next verse. What did Father Abraham say? But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things. What is he saying? And don't forget, the man called Abraham father, and Abraham called him son. Is that not it? So your father can go to heaven and the son will end up in hell. And the same is true. The son can go to heaven and the father can end up in hell. Where is your father if he's dead? Where is he now? Father, son, one in heaven, one in hell. Father, son, one in blessing, one in curse. It's very possible. Thank you. Take your seat. Take your seat. So this is what we call long life. This is actually what we mean by what? Long life. Everybody has long life. Because your life doesn't end when you die. It's still continuous. If I'm walking from here to where the laptop is, and along the way my body falls off, boom. It still doesn't mean I will not complete the journey. My spirit will continue the journey. So it means I still have long life. My life is not terminated by death. Are you following me? Okay. And you see, I said that we all have short life. Every human being has a short life. Every human being has long life. But not every human being has eternal life. And that is the most important and the most ultimate of all the lives. And when you lose this one, you've lost everything. You can live here 195 years. It's still a short life. You can continue after death. It is still a long life. But you don't have eternal life. And John 3:16 describes it perfectly well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not what? Should not what? Should not what? Perish. What's the meaning of perish? The word perish simply means destruction. But the word perish goes beyond the word destruction. To perish means to go through an everlasting destruction. Yes. Let's say somebody is perishing. We call it eternal damnation. You are condemned to destruction forever and ever. This is what made me fear heaven and hell. Now, especially hell. The reason why I fear hell the most is that when I make a mistake and I end up in hell, I will be there forever and ever. It's not like after 1,000 years, God will say, okay, let's change everything, all those in hell, come back and let's start over. No. When you end up in hell, you are in hell forever. The torment, the pain will continue every blessed day, morning, afternoon, evening, dawn. Forever. And when you end up in heaven, you enjoy the glory forever. That was the original plan of God. He created the garden. He never meant for us to be here, go through all these miserable things we are going through. He created man and he gave us the earth to handle. And it was supposed to be forever and ever. That is why man has something in him called the immune system. God knew that because you have this body, one of these days you fall sick. So he created some soldiers in you. Fight these diseases and what have you that will attack you. And that is what we call the immune system. The immune system are the military forces of every human body. They fight against diseases. They fight against sicknesses. But when man fell, he died immune in his immune system. The soldiers that were supposed to protect man from living forever reduced their strength, or their strength was reduced. So if their percentage was 100%, it was reduced to 20%. So they could only fight for you 20%. And that is how the life of man was reduced. After man sinned, God said, I've regretted. It has repented me ever creating man. And so because of this, his days shall be numbered up to 1,000 years. So God gave man one day to live. 1,000 years. And still sin was going on. And God said, because of that, I've reduced it to 120. From 1,000, it came to 120. That is the length of a man's life. When you go beyond 120, it's grace. And when man was still sinning, God reduced it to 70. So now the lifespan of every man is 70 years. Kunya 70. Anything above 70, it is God's mercy. Yes. That is why our immune system has become so weak, such that it's only when you are young that it can fight against certain sicknesses. But in those days, a young man is 300 years old. When you see a 300-year-old man, it's a young man. An adult is a 600-year-old man, like Noah. Noah was 600 years when God asked him to build the ark. 600 years. But today, what is very, very insignificant or useless in the sight of God is very, very important to us. Hey, me na nani onya 150. Hey, wawolo, mwe, celebration of life. And God said, wow. Even Enoch. You know Enoch or Enoch? Some of you call him Enosh. The man who was captured or who was snatched and never saw death. God took him away. I think age 300. Yes. I think age 300, God took him away. And even he died prematurely. It was a premature death. Yes. And so understand these three lives and ask yourself, which of these three lives do I have? Short life, we all have. Long life, we all have. Eternal life, we all don't have. Do you have eternal life? Do you have eternal life? Don't deceive yourself. It is very easy to think that you are saved, only to die and realize you are not saved. I know of a man of God. He said one day he was going to Tamale to go and preach. And when they got, is that the Tamale stretch? It's a very, it's straight. I don't know me, I've not been there before. They said the road is very straight. And it's a very tiled, nice tiled road. So if you like speed, they ask for that place, you speed up. So when he got to the entrance of that forest, he said to the people who were in the car, he said, Tamale, here we come. We'll get to Tamale in the next 10 minutes. He said he started the car accelerator down. And he was driving a big car like V8. At top speed. He said all of a sudden, he saw a man with a bicycle crossing the road. When he saw him, he was scared. He knew the car would knock this man down. So he applied the brake. And the car somersaulted into a ditch. And the tires were up there and they were back there. Said his sister was in the car. His in-law was in the car. And some other pastors were also in the car. And then said the car somersaulted about 6 times. Broom, broom, broom. The last one, the tires were up and smoke started coming out of the engine. Said everybody was quiet in the car. Then he called his in-law. He mentioned, let's say if it's Martin, he said Martin. He didn't respond, so he said he thought he was there. He said Martin, he said he said, are you okay? He said yes. Then he called his sister Freema. She didn't respond. Freema, she said, hey! And he said, when she cried, I knew she was not dead. And we called the other pastors. They were all okay, but they couldn't come out. So he said he smashed his feet against the rearview mirror and he came out.
And he saw some villagers coming to help them. When they came out, he said, his in-law, he's also a pastor, a prophet. He said, I would be shocked if I had died today. And the pastor asked him why. He said, I never expected to die today. Yes, he never planned to die today. So, like, he would be very shocked if he had died the day the car had an accident. Hey! So when they took them to Temale, they took them to the hospital. Then he asked the pastor they were going to preach for in Temale, do you have some water around? He said, Bishop, what kind of water? He said, oh, any water. He said, oh, here, there. He said, okay, we'll go to Accra. Then he said, Bishop, what? He said, I need to go and be baptized again. I want to be sure of my salvation. Yes. He said, when they came to Accra, he went with one of his pastors to the beach. He said, baptize me. And they put him into water and he came out. Then the bishop asked him, Daddy, is it okay? So I'm still not convinced. Again, he dipped him and he came out. I baptize you in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he came out. He said, do it again. He said, he did it 7 times. Then he said, after this one, now I know that when I die today, I'll go to heaven. You can't joke. One of the things you must not joke is with your eternal life. Because Jesus said, some will say unto me, Lord, Lord, in your name we cast out demons. So demon casters, be careful. We cast out demons in your name. We did a lot of miracles, performed deliverance and what have you in your name. But Jesus said, I will say unto you, I do not know you. So it's very easy to sing in church and die and go to hell. Very easy. Simple crowd. Very easy to be in this church, listen to all these messages and die and go to hell. Hey, one day I was shocked when God showed me a revelation. Do you want to know why? I was sleeping. That day I thought, Charlie, the end time has come. I thought the rapture has happened. I saw a man in the skies with my eyes. I could see from his waist to his feet. He was not wearing sandals. And he was hanging in the air like this. But this part upwards has been covered by the clouds. So I couldn't see his face. But I said, how can that be possible? How can a human being hang in the air, not fall down? Nobody spoke. Then I saw people wailing, hey, 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 hey. Then the first thing I said is, where's my brother? Where's my brother? Some of your siblings are not, they don't know Jesus. Who? Pray for their salvation. Oh. You go to heaven and your brother will be in hell. And I said, where's my brother? And I started looking for my brother. And I saw people were running away, everybody. And every eye saw the man. And the Bible said, in that day, every eye shall see him. Every human being, whether you are blind, your eyes will open. You will see. Yes. And we all saw him. Then I was looking for my brother. I couldn't find him. Then all of a sudden, I saw that some people were flying. They didn't have wings so bad. They were just going like this. I'm telling you, with my naked eyes. And I also wanted to fly, so I'll go back and I'll go. And I can go and I'll come back again. Broom. I said, hey. Then I said, oh, maybe it's because there's no speed. Then I came back. And I went. The second one, I went. Oh, I could see. I said, huh, now I'm going. The only thing I saw was I was coming down again. I said, hey, what's the problem? Then a man said to me, look at that silver you are. I said, silver, me carrying silver. He said, look at the silver plate on your chest. It is weighing you down. I said, what silver plate? He said, look at it. I did like that. I said, there is no silver on me. He said, no, there is a very heavy silver metal hanging around your neck on your chest. I said, me, silver. And silver in the Bible stands of, it speaks of judgment. And I said, no, I don't have any silver. Then he said, look at it. Then he
He turned my head like this. Then I saw it. It's like the 5-5 plate. But big one and heavy. And I said, what is this? Then you know what he said? Then he said, it is this pastor. I said, what pastor? Then he pointed the pastor to me. And the pastor is my former church, my pastor. He said, this man, he said, you are angry with him and he's still in your heart. Look at it. I said, hey! No. I said, no, then it's a mistake. Me, I don't have anything against this man. Me, I don't even, and Tulio, I don't even remember his name. Like, I've forgotten about him. Then the man told me that, yes, the fact that you have forgotten doesn't mean you have taken it out of your heart. He did something to you. You didn't like it. And he pained you. And you have forgotten, but the thing is still there. You've not released it. I said, ah, so this thing is what is preventing. He said, yes. I said, then let it go. Then I mentioned his name. In the vision, I said, me, I'm forgiving you. I'm forgiving you. Then I stood up from the vision. Hey. I said, hey, when I stood up, I was sweating. I said, Master Charlie, does that mean I'm not going to heaven? Then I had and I prayed. I said, God, anybody who has offended me, me, I forgive. And anybody I've also offended, tell them to forgive me. So I just prayed that night, though. Then I slept again. When I slept again, this time I didn't see myself flying. No. I saw myself in heaven. How many of you have seen yourself in heaven before? Oh, really? You'll be there very soon. Oh, I saw myself in heaven. Yes, I was in heaven. And there was an angel with me, but he didn't have wings. He was like another human being. And he was with me. And he said, come. And I was with him. Then I said, please, it's my name in the book of life. Then he said, come, let me show you something. Then he took me to a place. It was something like a stone, but it's like a table. And there was something. The book of life that we are talking about, well, what I saw, it is not like a book and a pen. It's like a rock. And they don't use a pen to write. You just pass your hand on it like this, and the thing is just written. So the thing was just there. And I checked the thing, I didn't see my name. And I told him, please, my name is Amos, and I don't see Amos in this thing. Do you know what he did? He pointed something. This. He said, this is your name. I said, that's not how I spell my name. My name is Amos. And do you know what I saw? I saw something like a bed. I saw something like a triangle. Something like a stroke. Yes. Symbols is what I saw. I said, that's not how I spell my name. And he said, that is your name. That's it. When I stood, I said, well, the most important thing is my name is there. It's not about how the name is spelled. It's your name in the book of life. That's the question. Don't think that, oh, Pastor, you see, as for me, I'm a Christian. I go to church. I pray, pa. It's not about whether you pray or not. It's about whether you know him. And you don't describe the tense of knowing him. Like, you come with your own conditions. This is what I want to do to know him. No. He describes the tense. Who has my little book? Who has any of my little book? The one for the crusade. Who has it? Those of you who stole it, you didn't bring it. Okay. I released the book before we went for the camp meeting. Before we went for the crusade. And the title of the book is How to Be Born Again. And in that book, I gave you 20 things which are not the same as being born again. It was Jesus who said, anybody wants to enter the kingdom of heaven, he must be born again. In John chapter 3. So don't deceive yourself. It is good to have a long life. It is good to have a short life. But as for everlasting life, that's another word for eternal life. Everlasting life. As for this life, it is a gift from God. And a gift to those who believe. Look at that. That he gave his only begotten son. That what? Whosoever believed in him. Whosoever, anyone that can believe, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for your sins. You say, I believe. He said, receive it. It's a gift. But it's not enough saying, I believe, because your faith must reflect your actions. This is where so many people don't understand. Your faith must what? Reflect your actions. I love my wife so much. And because I love her, I do the things I do for her. Is that not it? I can't say I love my wife so much, that's why I hate her. See, the devil is trying to redefine love. Now the devil is telling us that, do you know the reason why they fight, this man and this woman? Wouldn't they tell they be an omo kono? And you don't go out. It is not true. In our local dialect, there is an adage we say that yendo yehu a yendi yehu echinye. Is that not it? Love doesn't mean fight. One day a woman told me, "So for yeku kura no done so." Now that's not love. So your love must what? Your faith or your belief must reflect your action. That's why the Bible, James told us that faith without works is what? Is dead. It is a lie. You have faith that Jesus is the Son of God. He died for your sins. Your old life is past. You have become a new creature and you are still living in the old sin. And Paul is saying, Romans chapter 6 verse number 1. Look at it. Look at what Paul is asking. Romans 6 1. Should we continue to sin and say that grace will abound? Look at Paul. This is a man who preached grace more than everybody in the Bible. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Shall we continue in sin so that we say, oh, the grace of God is sufficient? You see? So Paul said, should we continue in sin? Everybody, listen. Let me end. Everybody that is truly born of God, they will never find pleasure in sin. I'm saying it again. Anybody that is born of God never finds pleasure in sin. And that is how John described it in 1 John. He said, that anyone born of God does not sin. Does not sin means that he does not, there is no sin in his life. It's not true. But does not sin means he doesn't find pleasure in sin. How do you know some people, when they fornicate, it's like they've not done anything. And they will rather ask, you know, my head in. Oh yes, they are fornicating, you know. And they ask you, what is the problem? There are strong ladies who are fighting women over their husbands. And they tell you, kokachi ukunu. Ukunu na onu to mean na hua. Me dia my elder. Me aone me ekono. Aden. What's the problem, man? What is our share? What check you who ye? Excuse me. Oh, for share what them one here with you. Opie dia ye nyina ye dia. Excuse me. This is a young girl. I would do a big one at you. And she doesn't even see anything wrong with what she's doing. But anyone born of God, even when the man proposes to you and you say, yes, I do, or I agree, you can't sleep. I said, you can't sleep. You can't sleep. Oh. That night, it's like you have killed a human being. I'm telling you, it will be man who needs some away. Mewa, be man now can say you what he has only better. Who so needs some away? Obikuno. He said, "What are you thinking? Hey, you hear the voice? I wouldn't too much chill with you, cry still. You hear the voice? Is that not it? How many of you have felt that way before? Yes. And sometimes, even after you've done the thing comes back to haunt you." That one is not from God. Understand this. I sinned. Let's say I committed abortion when I was 14 years. And I'm now 27 years. I'm now 28 years. I'm married with my husband. And I still remember the guilt for that abortion I committed when I was 14 years. And I think it's the reason why my finances is not working. I think it's the reason why I'm not giving birth. No. It is called condemnation. And it is not from God. That thought is very demonic and it is not from God. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. Can we do Romans 8, 1 quickly? The Bible said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are where? In Christ. There is therefore now, not then, now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ. Now he qualifies what it means by that. And he said, who walk not after the heart? Oh, is somebody here with me? Who walk not after the heart, the flesh, but after the heart, the spirit. So if you are always found walking after the flesh, what your body says is what you do. The Holy Spirit will tell you, today you must fast. Then your body will say, Masa, a couple more, yendidi. Then 6 a.m., what ufu fwa bende da hada. Now, unkwain si jaso. 6 a.m. And sometimes the day you feel like fasting, you eat. You even eat before you realize, say, ah, emekwa mikase me fasting. When you do that, you are easily living after the flesh. What are some of the things of the flesh? Let me give you over 10 things that is the same as living after or walking after the flesh. Number one, when you feel like praying, but your flesh or your body says no, sleep, and you sleep. If you are like that, you always find yourself sleeping rather than praying. You are walking after the flesh. Because the truth is that I don't know anybody on this earth who knows how to pray. And I don't know anybody who has mastered how to pray. How many of you know how to pray? Like, you know how to pray. You know how to pray. Even myself, I don't know how to pray. Because the truth is that even when you think you are good at prayer, your prayer doesn't amount to anything. Won't say somebody knows how to pray. It means the person knows what he's supposed to pray for. As and when he utters those words or he opens his mouth. But Romans chapter 8, the verse number 26 tells us.
And to Romans chapter 8, verse 26,
can we read it? Verse number 26 of the same scripture. Look at it. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit makes intercession. So, you see, anytime you think you are praying, it is the Holy Spirit that is making intercession for you. What is intercession? This lady is praying to God. Pray. Like, if I ask you to pray to God right now, what will you ask for right now? Ask one thing. What will you ask? Just say it now. Don't think about it. Say it.
Money.
She's going to pray for money. So pray to God for money.
Oh, Heavenly Father, I ask that you grant me more money.
You need money.
Make me wealth.
But meanwhile,
now so
this wizard and her family
now so
is going to kill her. Go and kill her. As at that very moment, pray for money. Pray for money. Now look at what is happening. This lady is looking for more money. This demon is looking for her life. So if God answers her prayer, what do you think will happen to her? She will die that very soon. Yes. So okay, let's assume God wants to answer the prayer. So God brings her money. Say, wow, money.
Oh, wow, sika pa.
Money. Why? Because she doesn't know what she should pray for as she prays. So now somebody comes in, call the Holy Spirit. Come, you are in white. So pray for money.
Father, I pray that you give me more money.
And you too,
Father,
do
I
your thing.
Give me more money.
Now the Holy Spirit comes in.
Give me more money.
I need
more
somebody
money.
To be God.
More money.
Come and
more
be God.
More money.
This is God.
More money.
So more money.
More money.
Then the Holy Spirit stands here. Faces God and interprets the thing she's saying to God. Interpret it. What is she saying?
More money.
She wants what?
Protection.
Protection from what?
From demonic assignment.
Protection from demonic assignment. But is that what she's praying for? Put your hands together for the Holy Spirit. So when you walk after the flesh, you always want to go or do things contrary to what is actually needed. So when you should be praying, you'll be sleeping. Number two, anytime you are in church, you always find something wrong with what we do in church rather than something good. Watch all those who have said every bad thing to say about what we do in church. Why is the pastor not in clerical? Why is the pastor not standing in the podium? Why is he walking and going and coming? Why is it that we didn't start the interpretation at the beginning, but rather at the tail end we started in the... They have so many things to say. Why is it that the iron rods are coming out of the pillars? Why is it that there is no fan over here? Why is it that they've not turned on that big fan? Why is it that this? Why is it that that? Why is it that this? That's how the flesh works. Everything is about the flesh. Number three, they do things to satisfy this. So they eat when they should be fasting. They sleep when they should be watching. That is why you find them in church, all right. But they still cannot close their zip. It's one thing, ask for that one, they can't. There are so many of them. But because of our time, we will end it here. I pray that you will not only have long life, but rather you will have eternal life. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout your loudest, amen. We hope you've been blessed by this message. For further information on Reverend Amos Darko's tapes and books, please send us a mail at rev.amosdarko@gmail.com or call +233 503 861 399. Thank you for your time and God bless you.